studied a lot out for today, for this morning, on the birth or the new birth, and it kind of works along with the pregnancy. And I think hopefully this will be a blessing to you. It definitely has been to me, just some of the things, and a lot of things we probably know, but it is really interesting when you go through it, and just some of the things that the Lord shows you. So it's really cool. I think I have a couple of numbers here, which are pretty cool about births. 140 million births a year in this world. There's 140 million, which is about 385,000 a day. That's a lot of births. A lot of times we talk about death and suffering, but I think it's cool to just think about births. Imagine how many new births there are. I'm trying to lead into the new birth here eventually, but being born again. We have numbers on physical things here that the world takes statistics of. God's over here counting spiritual, eternal. So he's got like, oh, this many births today, this many births today. And we don't really see it. We're here in this morning. There's births happening again in real life, right? In the hospital, there's births. So we may be here in church, or we may be out preaching the gospel, not seeing the spiritual births that are happening, not seeing all the births that are happening across the world, even though maybe, you know, few there be that find it, right? Not as many people are saved as are not saved, right? But still, it still happens. People are still getting born again today. So praise the Lord. I mean, we had, James and Jules and other people that got saved just recently, being born again. So the new births are happening every day. Does anybody know the very first birth there was ever? No. Cain, yep. Cain was the first birth. Well, actually, let's look at it real quick just to kind of lead us into the introduction here. Genesis 4. Genesis 4. The first birth recorded ever. First birth, Genesis 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, you know what no means, and she conceived. And bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. It sounds like there's a lot of joy there. There's a lot of happiness there. She's praising the Lord for having a child. Now, maybe in the wrong one, we say Cain ended up killing Abel, but still, it was still a blessing, still a miracle. God still provided life. God created a new life where there was only two, now there's three. Now there's a whole new human being, a whole new individual. She had to have gone through some suffering. I mean, imagine never experiencing pain, never even knowing what pain is in the garden. Sinning, and now you're lost in the world, and you give birth, which is, on the scale of pain that's up there, right? It's one of either femur bone or pain or pregnancy. Those are the two, or birth, those are the two that compete for the most pain. But so she experienced a lot of pain, and actually, some people can handle pain more than others and handle suffering more than others. And a lot of times it's related to, some things that person has gone through. So if you were to ask her, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst pain you ever felt, this is off the charts for her, I'm sure. This is unbelievable. But then look what happened right after. She was joy. She had joy. She was praising the Lord. She wasn't praising the Lord for the pain and suffering. She was praising the Lord for the new child she just got. So it is kind of interesting just to think about, what was happening. Everything she was experiencing, no one had ever experienced. There was no other mother. There was no one to consult. Sammy, whenever she was pregnant, you're going to all these different moms and asking them about things and know what's going on. Everything's different for every mom. Some moms like pickles and ice cream. Some moms like, pudding or something, but they won't like it the next day. She didn't like the smell of beef stew. Who knows why? Who doesn't like beef stew? She loves beef stew. But some reason she didn't like the smell of it. So everything, Eve probably at that point didn't like the tree of knowledge of good and evil anymore. She's like, what is going on? I like this tree, No, I'm just kidding. But so all these things are new, and she couldn't consult anybody, but she's experiencing this. This is a side note here, because I think Micah was reading this last week. If you go back up to verse 20 on chapter 3. And Adam called his wife's name Eve. Why? Because she was the mother of all living. There is a teaching that you kind of hear sometimes people mention, maybe there was other humans on earth. Who did Cain marry? There's other human beings. Well, if Eve is the mother of all living, it kind of tells you what had to happen. She had to have a bunch of kids. God said, be fruitful, multiply. Apparently, she had to have. I mean, everything started with her and Adam. So, anyway, I just thought that was interesting. He says she was the mother of all living. Cain couldn't go to another country and find someone else that God created a new race from. No, there's only one human race. It was created with Adam and Eve. But I don't know if y'all ever encountered anyone like that that believes that. But just kind of an interesting thought there, side note. All right. We have other planets? Oh, okay. Maybe it was it came from other planets. It was seeded with aliens or something, he's like, all right, I'm not going to go with the human race. I'm going with the alien race. Some things on, by way of introduction, some things on born again. You read birth all through the Bible, both talking about literal births that happen and also like maybe spiritual or application or maybe trying to, I don't want to say allegorical, but you know what I mean, like a picture of God uses birth all the time. Go to John 3. We know this one. And I'm going to go to 1 Peter real quick. I don't know how far I'm going to get in this, but there's a lot of verses to go through, but we'll just see how far we get. Praise the Lord. You guys don't have anywhere to go, right? John 3. All right, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus here in John chapter 3, right? There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. Scroll down here, ask Jesus a question. And then Jesus answered and said in verse 3 unto him, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then watch Nicodemus, right? It's just like all of us. If we're just thinking carnally minded, we're not thinking spiritually minded. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Okay, obviously that's a ridiculous question. You know that's not true. He's just trying to understand the thing. I don't know, maybe he's mocking Jesus. I don't know. But you think Jesus was crazy. If you had no idea of any spiritual understanding of hey, there's a physical and there's a spiritual, you can be born physically, you can be born spiritually. So he's like, how am I supposed to do this? I can't go to heaven except I'm born again. But that's impossible. I can't be born again. No, that's not true, Nicodemus. You can be born again. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So the water is, hey, mother's water broke. She's the baby, then the baby's born. You're born of water. It's a physical birth. Then you're born of the Spirit. You have to be born again. You must be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, now he's showing you again. He's repeating the same thing, but saying it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He's like, how am I supposed to be born again? This is all going through his head. He's freaking out. But see, Jesus right here is giving us the comparison here. There's a physical birth and there's a spiritual birth. So that means if I look at physical birth and I look at physical pregnancy or something about the physical birth, I should be able to glean some spiritual truth and understanding about the spiritual birth from that, right? So that's kind of where I'm wanting to go with this. And 1 Peter 1:18 talks about being born, 18 through 23 talks about being born born again. Born of not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're new creatures. Colossians 1:18, firstborn. This is another reference to born again. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. That's a pretty interesting thought there. Born from the dead. And Jesus is called the begotten, only begotten, the only begotten Son of God. Another birth. Mentioned I think our minds often go to is Isaiah 7:14, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, refer to Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So God definitely wants us to, I think there is something to looking at the physical birth, looking at something that happened physically, and then, gleaning some spiritual truth from it. So There are, I don't know if this is changing, you know, stuff changes a lot, you know, science, also so-called, changes a lot, but typically they say there's three stages in pregnancy, the trimester, they'll refer to it as. And so tri, right there, kind of rings a bell in my head, it reminds me of the triune God. There's three parts of the pregnancy, there's three parts to God. 1 John 5:13, there are three to bear record in heaven, the Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, these three are one. And if you look at Jesus Christ, as the person of Jesus Christ, in Colossians 2:9, saying that in him all the fullness of the Godhead is dwelling in Jesus Christ bodily. So Jesus Christ was the three, is three in one. He was all three. He was the Father, all in one. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead. That's the triune God. So a baby, okay, this is a cool thought I had, the Lord gave me, I think, whenever I was going through the, we're going through the birth. We'll get into the birth later on, but that was an experience there. But the baby is in the womb for, does anybody know how many months? 9 months. Do you know how many weeks, typically? 40, well, some people, okay, I heard 42, but 40 weeks, I think, in the United States is what you're thinking. Are you European? That must make sense. The European's like 42, so we want to ignore him. We're talking about the United States, God's country over here, all right? 42, maybe there's something to 42, but you're kind of throwing off my study here. No, I'm just kidding. So 9 months, 40 being the number of, does anybody know what we typically see when we see 40, where it's at in the Bible, when it's used? Does anybody know? Testing or trials? So any examples of testing and trials that had to do with 40, the number 40? Anybody remember? 40 years the Jews were in the wilderness. Yep. Exodus 16, I have a reference if you want. Exodus 16:35, they were in 40 years. Any other 40s mentioned in the Bible? Anybody remember? Yep, exactly. I had that one written down too. Genesis 7:4, it was rained 40 days and 40 nights. That's right. Any other ones? Another big one. Yes, I had that one. Yeah, you guys were on the same page, right? Every single one. Mark 1:13, Jesus was in the wilderness. Wilderness, just like the Jews were in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted. This was an interesting one. At age 40, both Isaac and Esau took wives. I'm just going to leave that there for a second. maybe 40 having to do with tribulation and taking... No, I'm just kidding. Number 9 is the number of, Micah says this often, of fruit. So you have the 9 fruits of the Spirit. I don't know if there's many other 9s that you know, but I found that in Genesis 5, there was 6 men that lived beyond 900 years. And God said, be fruitful, multiply. So they lived beyond 900 years. So there's something about that time. They lived a lot longer, right? Noah lived to be even over 900 years as well. I don't know if there's any other 9s that you guys can think of, but so think about this. The mother for 40 weeks, for 9 months, she's experiencing this, is going through different things, struggles and whatever, you know, different trimesters have their different trials. And then you go through this agony and this tribulation to bear fruit in the end. So the 40 is the trial and the tribulation, and 9 is the bearing of fruit. So it's pretty cool how the numbers kind of line up. With the mother and giving birth, so she bore fruit at the end of tribulation. And a lot of times, and we know this from the scripture, we have to go through some hard times. When Micah talked about working out, because he likes to you know work out and stuff. I don't do that, but that's okay. But he likes to suffer and struggle and go through some tribulation, because in the end it bears fruit. You get rewarded in the end. You know, we go out and we'll go. You can go knock on doors. You can go hold signs. It's a struggle sometimes. People are jerks, you know. They'll slam the door in your face. They'll drive by and flick you off or something, and wave to you with one finger, or they'll yell something at you, and you just gotta, you know. It's a struggle sometimes, but it's also in the end it bears fruit. You don't know who's gonna read the signs and who's gonna trust in Jesus Christ, or who's gonna be encouraged by someone holding a sign, and they're gonna go tell someone else. You don't know the result that it can come about from that, but. Praise the Lord, we can go through some trials and tribulations on earth for the glory of God and to bear some fruit. So I'm just kind of throwing out some taking some ideas from the birth and from pregnancy and stuff like that, and trying to take some spiritual truth that we can apply to ourselves, or just something that, you know, I thought was interesting. This is pretty interesting. I don't know if this is even anything here, but 9 times 40 is 360. So that's kind of interesting, 360. And I thought was interesting was the number. I don't know how this necessarily relates. It's just weird how God does this with numbers, 360, and how the number of days in a year is it's really close to 360. I know we say 365. Maybe there was a different way we counted or something. I don't know even if science is right, but it's all really close to 360 degrees. It's just weird how God does these numbers. It's all around in a circle. Okay, so I guess maybe circle of life. I don't know what you want to say. I guess doing this, drawing a circle like that. But 360 degrees. So it's weird. God does these things, I think on purpose, with numbers. Like Micah does that with the three. If you think of like threes in the world, it's just pretty interesting how things just line up. Numbers are all throughout the creation that God did, like putting his you know, signature there, like a painter would sign a painting. I want to just move on to, let's see, some things about the mother. We're going to look at some things with the mother, the mother experiences in the pregnancy and the birth, and look at some scriptures here, and then we'll go in and look at the baby, what the baby experiences. I don't know how far I'm going to get, so I'm going to try to just, we'll just see where we end up, and then maybe we'll finish next another time. So the mother is pregnant. She's awaiting. She's anticipating. She's looking forward to this birth, the whole pregnancy. So she's excited. She wants to meet this baby. By the end of the pregnancy, she's just done. She just wants to get this baby out of there. She's just over it. She's like, all right. Let's turn over to Titus 2. Titus 2. If I can get there. So the mother awaits the birth, anticipates with joy, looking forward. You guys are probably already there. All right, Titus 2:11. We'll go down to 2:11 and we'll read down a little bit. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, just like the mother was anticipating and looking for with joy for the baby, for this baby to be able to see this baby and to hold this baby and to just get to know this baby, we should be, this is, looking for the glorious appearing, the blessed hope, the glorious being of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We should be anticipating with joy that Jesus Christ is coming again. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 1:7. 1 Corinthians 1:7. Again, just trying to take some spiritual truths from the physical birth. Mother waiting, anticipating with joy. 1 Corinthians 1:7. She goes through a lot. The mother gets often sick. Some mothers experience sickness through the entire pregnancy. They're sick the whole time. They don't get a break. Some mothers don't even get sick at all. Some just get sick in some trimesters and not others. And so it varies. So a mother could struggle for a long time before she actually gets to experience this joy. You know, it's not just the birth that's a struggle. The entire pregnancy is a whole day. And then you're having, things are going on in your body. They're changing and forming. And you're having to carry this baby, carry this added weight. And throughout, 9 months. And now, maybe the first trimester, it's not as, you don't feel it as much. But then second trimester, third trimester, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. It's a whole change of life. Sammy, I'll try to maybe do this. So Sammy didn't realize how her body had changed, you know, so like she's still trying to get through small gaps, you know, like this. And if you imagine, like, put a belly on me, you know, like with a baby, and you're not doing that. So, you know, we were like moving an oven or something. So, and she's trying to get by, and yeah, it's not we can't, Sammy, you're not going to be able to stand right there while we're bringing this in. This is not going to work out. So sometimes you would have to, like, turn forward. You'd think it'd be the opposite. Normally, like, you're trying to sneak by somebody, you're, like, turning sideways. So you'd have to turn forward to, like, get through things. So it's just kind of a, it's just funny how your entire world, like, every little thing, like, changes. So I just thought that was hilarious. She couldn't get, like, all right, Sammy, you're just going to have to move out of the way. We can't get by you with this thing. No, he's just too big. They experience a lot of changes. They go through a lot of different things. You know, it's not just the birth. So 1 Corinthians 1. I lost my place here, but I think it's 1:7. Yep. Now therefore, 1 Corinthians 1:7. Am I there? Oh no, I'm in the wrong one. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 1:7. So that ye come behind in no gift. See, I kind of wonder. Here, I'm going to go to 4 real quick. Go to verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched in Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, waiting for Jesus Christ to come again. I ought to be waiting for Jesus Christ to come, anticipating that with joy, looking forward to Him being here and being with us, and us being with Him for eternity. Just turn over to Philippians 3, another one on looking for Jesus Christ. The Bible says, put others in remembrance of things that we already know, because it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder to for ourselves and for others to continue to show us, hey, this is what we need to be thinking about. This is what we need to have our minds on. You know, in Philippians 4, it says, think on these things. There's a reason why God tells us to think on certain things, because it affects you. It affects you every day. It affects how you live. It affects your actions, and what you're going to end up doing is affected by what you think about throughout the day. So we should be thinking about Jesus Christ. We should be thinking about Him coming again. If I'm thinking about Him coming again, if I really thought that Jesus Christ was going to come like today, I mean, I don't even know if I, and we knew that, there was no doubt, we knew He was coming right now today, I'd be out there, we'd be hopefully running down the street, going to every single house, laying on there, Jesus Christ is coming today, we better get saved, you need to go to Jesus Christ. Going down the road, going down the highway, stopping cars on the highway. If all the Christians knew that Jesus Christ was coming again, I don't know what would happen. If the world would just maybe stop for time being, hopefully, so people would want. But then you wonder, like, people are, you know, if we really believe the Bible, and we believe it's true, and we know we're saved, we know we're going to heaven, all these Christians around the world, and yet we're just going to work, you know, and going home and eating, and not even thinking about, wait, I believe these things. I believe that person over there, if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're going to hell for eternity. And if Jesus Christ comes again, it's too late. They had a chance today to believe on Him. Then do I really believe what I say I believe? Is it really affecting my life? The mother is anticipating the child coming, and it affects her everyday life for 9 months. She's reading books. She's studying about the new birth. She's learning about what it means to be mother, and she wants to be the best mother. So she's changing her habits. She's changing her attitude. She's learning and gathering information, and maybe getting around different people or talking to different people, just so she can be ready. So when this child comes, she's going to be ready for it, as ready as she can be. She's going to be praying, seeking the Lord. And we ought to be that same way for Jesus Christ, being ready for when He comes, praying and seeking Him. We're not going to be able to go back and earn reward once he's here. At that point, it's too late. The time is ended. We're with Jesus Christ, and what's done is done, and we're with Him, and praise the Lord. But I want to be able to give Him something, and not just show up empty-handed, like, you know, I all that time you gave me, I didn't do nothing with it, Lord. You know, so it really makes you think, and everything on earth just is so real to us, you know, and maybe you know, we just need to make the Lord coming again a little more real, a little more real to us, and that might change how we act, change what we do right now. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Who shall change? So look, there's an anticipation of someone coming, and there's also a changing of a body. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. They're looking, it says we look for the Savior. Paul's putting him in that group, and he's saying, this is what we do. He's not saying you should do it. This is just what we do. As Christians, we look for the Savior. Coming from Him, we look for Him. We wait for Him. We anticipate it. And what comes after the Savior is a change in body. The body changes. The baby, I don't know if you guys have ever seen a baby that was just born. I really thought that Samuel was a doll. The nurse had Samuel. And he did not look like, he looked like a lifeless doll. That's what he looked, and didn't look like what I would expect a baby to look like. I'm just saying, you know. I would also say, you know, throughout the pregnancy, I was probably running to the bathroom a couple of times to throw up. That's just me. Maybe different people handle experiences in different ways. It might have been harder on me than it was on Sammy. So she forgets it, right? But the Lord didn't say that the father, you know, forgets the agony and the pain, you know, after the baby, for the joy of the baby. So I'm still remembering everything, you know, and I know exactly what happened. I know exactly what I felt. And she didn't squeeze my, you know, I was afraid the whole time before leading up to praise. I was afraid that she's going to grab my hand and start, you know, crushing my knuckles. She's strong. She can probably beat me up. But she can, she has sometimes, you know. But she grabs my hand. And I was afraid she was going to do that and, like, squeeze my knuckles or something. I mean, because you shake her hand, she has a pretty tough handshake. She learned from her dad. You know, the one dad had two daughters. You know, it was obviously the mom too, but he raised those daughters tough. You know, he had no sons, so he had to raise them like sons. You know, and so they have, like, you know, tough grip. You know, you remember whenever Sammy came over here and did all the work? It's like she just goes at it. So I was afraid she was going to break my hand or something. But no, she was like this nicest thing. She's like apologizing to me the whole time. I'm like, what do you, like, I didn't do nothing. Like, I mean, like, you didn't do nothing to me. You know, we're like, why are you sorry? You know, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm the one, you know, struggling, going to the bathroom, throwing up, and I'm like scared. I'm freaking out. She's like, I don't want to do this. So it was definitely a struggle for me, I know that, but this is about the mother I'm trying to talk about right now. But we are, looking for the Savior. So there's a change in a body. So the baby, yeah, so I was talking about Samuel, he looked completely different. And then the moment that, the nurse is trying to make sure that baby breathes and cries and stuff, so she's like shaking him, you know, and then, boom, he starts crying, starts breathing. Boom, they send him right on the mother. And from that moment on, the fastest change in the baby happens immediately, right? He looks completely different within just the first hour. It was amazing. There's a video of him at one hour old lifting up his head, and then like it falls over. But he looked completely different just from the initial time. That's the biggest change I saw. And then it's still a pretty big change, not as rapid, but even the first month looks completely different. So there's some change that is happening in the appearance of the child. Their eyes are like, you know, their eyes are a certain color. They're like, they're really, these really dark, dark eyes. He looked like me at 1 hour, or 1 day or something. And then now he looks completely like Sammy. He doesn't look anything like me. He has blue eyes and light hair. He had dark hair when he was born. So it's weird how rapidly they change in their appearance in the very beginning. So you're anticipating, just like we're looking for Jesus Christ to come, anticipating this child to come, looking forward for the child to come. The child comes, and then there's a change in the body, which is kind of interesting here. Just like here, there's a change. One more on that. There's a ton of verses on Jesus Christ coming again, looking for him, but I just want to give you one more. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Again, I hope this is a blessing to you. I mean, just trying to take some spiritual truth from the pregnancy, from the birth. 2 Timothy 4, let's go up a little bit to verse 6. Let's do 6. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That reminds you of as we're thinking about the pregnancy. There's a lot of struggles that happen throughout the pregnancy. There's a course that the mother goes on, right? And she has to keep going on it. Some mothers give up. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Sammy loved to see Samuel. We all have loved ones here, and I'm sure I hope we love to see them, and we look forward to seeing them if we've been gone for a while. There's something about a mother's love for that baby. And just getting to hold that child for the first time. And I think the Lord wants us to take that and apply that to here. Our love for the Lord and our love for His appearing. Before, we should just love and want to see Him come now. And looking forward to Him, just like all these verses we've been reading, looking for that blessed hope. Longing for the appearing, loving His appearing, and God blesses that. What does it say? A crown of righteousness. Because I think it does affect. It affects your life. It affects your actions. It affects the things that we do every day. If we love His appearing, we're looking for Him to come. And Paul, right here, Paul was ready to be. He was just done. Sounds like, see, at the end, just like the mother. Mother was just ready and was done and just. Same, before the actual labor starts, the mother's just tired of it. She just wants this baby to come out. She still wants to see the baby, but she's just done being pregnant. It's a struggle. It really is a struggle. So when the baby finally comes out, though, there's so much love there and so much joy and also just a peace and a comfort, and it's just such a rapid change. And it kind of does make me think about how different, when we are finally standing before Jesus Christ or kneeling, whatever, we're flying in the air and we're before Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't know what we're going to be thinking at that time. We might think we know what we're going to be thinking at that time, but we have no clue. I mean, we're going to be flying through the air. Who knows how fast? God knows, right? Blink of an eye. And we're going to be seeing the one who died for us, the one who created everything. And then I was thinking about this with somebody. I think it was Sammy. We were talking about this. Do y'all remember how you felt in high school? Like, how high school felt like everything. Like, that was the most important thing. Like, maybe not for everybody, but it felt like that was, okay, to this point now, I had been looking forward to, getting to middle school, looking at all the kids in the older grades and excited to be that old one day, and because it's so fun. And then high schoolers, they're so cool, they're the cool kids, and we got to be like, they're messing with all the freshmen, and then finally you're a senior. Like, it feels like you're in this bubble of just high school or school, whatever, in general. And you don't, if I guess maybe you're shielded if you're homeschooled. I don't know how y'all felt about it back there, but was it not as bad? Maybe I'm... Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then you still kind of have that same idea, but like maybe those kids, those are the cool kids over there. I want to be like the cool kids, or you're not even thinking about what am I going to do when I'm 30 years old. You're not thinking about that. You're just like this is all there is. I gotta impress these people, and so you're in this bubble. Boom. Graduation. what do you do now? You're just walking around and like that's it. That was the life. That was all there was. You know, if you don't have anything planned, I guess you're just like, man, I felt like, you know, that was everything. Like now there's nothing. Now high school is gone. Now you're out in the world and there's something bigger, something much better. So, and I was thinking, so that's a big change, you know, and at least in some people's lives, maybe it's just me, I don't know. But and then there's college and there's all these other things. But I'm saying this to say, it just felt like at the time that was all you could really, that was all that really mattered at that time. And you're focused on high school, trying to get good grades. Maybe you're not trying to get good grades, but then. So we're here on earth, and this is all we see, right? This is all we know. Maybe you can get a better understanding of the world and how it functions and the world economy biblically, you know, from a Christian point of view, you can kind of see the world system and all the different interconnections between the global powers, the powers that be. And so even as a Christian, we start to kind of get a little broader view of that. But still, it's so small. It's such a small part of the entire thing, everything that God's created. So when I'm saying all this to say this, when we get raptured, boom, the change. Like this isn't going to matter anymore as far as what we left behind. Oh, no, I just bought this new car, and now I got to fly away from it. Like, what am I going to do? No, it's not going to matter. I just got done fixing up my house. You know, what am I? You know, we're going to get new houses. Like we're going to be with Jesus Christ. What is it? We're with the guy who created the materials to build this thing in house. I don't need a house, you know. Like he has streets of gold. I mean, he God thinks so much of gold. He paves it. He like walks like people just walk on it. It's like it's nothing to him. You know, we're just it's so funny how our man's focus on earth is just so different than God's focus. And so when we're with him, when we get raptured, I mean, that's just gonna like I have not seen, ear hasn't heard, heart has not understand the things that. So what's going to happen hereafter? We can't even comprehend it right now. Like, you know, we can try and speculate, but I'm just saying it's so much bigger than we can even feel like. We can even think about. You know, some people when they're higher ups and they got more information, or maybe they have better knowledge of things that the ins and outs of the United States or the world government, they think they know all this stuff. They don't know nothing. I mean, like there's so much that God has for us that there's going to be. And that the world really is going on, nothing happens that God isn't allowing, and everything we all know is backed by some spiritual influence somehow. Everything is ultimately comes down to spiritual. We battle not against flesh and blood. So I just think that it's just such a difference, right? When we get raptured, the same way when the child's born. Imagine you're the child. You're inside this womb. You're in this little bubble of a belly here. And all you know is the mother's heartbeat, maybe some like washed out sounds. The mother, you know, the baby responds to the mother talking. You know, they say to read to the baby, and we read to the baby. You pray with the baby, you know, and you talk to the baby. And maybe there's a little light gets through the belly. I don't know, but that's all the baby knows. The baby's growing and getting bigger, and the baby just knows this little womb here. But then when the baby is born. There's lights. There's different sounds now. So I mean, it's such a contrast and difference from going from that womb to going to that world. The world's so much bigger than just the womb that the baby was in. Now, there's so much. There's so many things going on. It's probably scary. So I mean, maybe we're gonna be probably just gonna be scared, probably freaking out, scared up in heaven. And then Jesus is like, all right, calm down. You know, this is the way it is. You know, this is what's really going on. I know you're confused and. You're misguided and whatever. You know, I don't know what he's going to say, but I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of admonishing, a lot of correcting on what we really thought was happening, but and then really just opening our eyes to reality. And we have the scriptures, and the scriptures do open our eyes to a lot of things and give us a lot of insight. But God only gave us what we need while we're here, right? He wanted us to know what we need to know here to live life and to seek the Lord and to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's not telling us the ins and outs of cherubim and seraphim and angels and how that whole system really works, you know. And there's only two angels named in the Bible. There's who knows how many angels that God has, right? So, sorry, I got off on a tangent there. But what time are we supposed to stop? Actually, how late does it usually go to? 40, 45, 42 and a half. It's like now? It's 43. All right, well, let me just try to wrap this up real quick. I'm probably like 30% of the way. You know, we got a lot more scrolling to do here. I'm on the phone. So we'll probably wrap it up real quick. So just to kind of tie off what we talked about, the Lord, I think, you know, oftentimes definitely does use the physical to help us understand the spiritual, and so we can kind of grasp it. He said, you know, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Now here's down there over that kiss I told which cover. So you use the wind to try to show it, help us understand the spirit. Right? So is everyone that is born of the spirit. So the same way that we can use, I think the birth, the physical birth and what goes on in there to try to understand spiritual things and really just take away, hopefully today, I didn't even know where this was, I didn't mean for us to go a lot of these things that we talked about necessarily. I wrote down scriptures and that I thought, you know, that were, I made sense as far as applying, but it really hit me just now a lot harder than maybe when I was studying it. But I mean, we need to be looking for Jesus Christ to come and be ready and be loving it, anticipating it with joy. And you're going to have some trials. You're going to have some struggles. Just like the mom does throughout the pregnancy, it's not going to be easy. But praise the Lord, it's coming. The joy is coming. And Jesus Christ said, in the Hebrews 2, they said about, the Bible says about Jesus Christ, Hebrews 12, it says about Jesus Christ that he endured the cross, despising the shame. Right? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He knew that he was going to have to go through these struggles to get to the joy in the end. Philippians 2, he humbled himself to be glorified in the end. He became obedient unto death for the glory that God was giving. So just keep that hopefully in our hearts. As a blessing to me, I know, hopefully it's a blessing to you. And let's just pray and we'll go to the Sunday morning. Hey, Father, thank you for this morning.